This is episode 41, a mindset to advocate for yourself, or in other words, to toot your own horn. Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast. This is Bethany, your coach from drbcoach.com, coaching with power, purpose, and practical tools to help you show up with confidence. Thank you for joining me for the podcast today. We're going to talk about tooting your own horn or advocating for yourself. Have you ever wanted to be more confident? What would you really like to have happen? What would it look like if you were recognized for all of the greatness that is within you and all the effort you put in at work, all the intentions and outcomes that you create? What would you really like to have happen? Think about what would be different if that were to happen. What would become possible for you? And what if you do nothing? I've coached a lot of individuals from all walks of life and career areas who needed confidence. That isn't what they said when they asked to be coached, but it is what they were looking for. At first, they wanted to figure out how to be happier at work, or they wanted to know what to do to grow a coaching business the right way. Or they were senior directors in the corporate world and other leadership roles who wanted to learn how to navigate challenging managers, coworkers, or other tough situations. In several cases, they gained confidence pretty quickly, but then as they began taking actions consistent with their decisions, they second-guessed things and stopped. They were back at the place of them feeling stuck, waiting for somebody outside themselves to approve, guide them, or give them confidence. In all of these circumstances, those whom I have coached have had an unclear idea of who they really were. And their sense of control was focused on things outside themselves rather than what was on the inside. For each of these people, this feeling was very frustrating. It is something I call being stuck. When we are stuck, the way forward is unclear. It seems impossible to know what the right answers are. Possibilities are limited. There is drama, and things feel heavy. We might feel isolated, like we are on our own to figure things out with no good ideas about how to do that. This stuck feeling stays with us, from work to personal life. We believe that if we just put in more time and effort, we will magically become free and resolve the problem. And sometimes we do. But it comes back again, and we're waiting again for the right people, the right resources, and the right solutions to emerge to help us get unstuck again. What they wanted, what all of these folks I have coached really wanted, was an internal compass that made sense to guide them. They wanted to take actions without waiting for the right answer from somebody else. But instead, they really wanted to trust their own instincts and their own thoughts. Basically, they were looking for confidence and clarity. They wanted what we all want, to know who we are, to know that we are enough, and to know that we matter. When we're not sure about who we really are, we can never become the best version of ourselves. We question everything. We take a lot longer to do things because we're always looking outside ourselves for the answers. We wait for someone to tell us that we're on the right track, or that we are enough, and that we might succeed or will succeed in something we're planning or considering. Now, I'm going to tell you a very short story about my grandmother, Gladys Ross Kelly. She died before I was ever born, so I did not get to know her. All I know about her is stories that were told about her from my mother and from other family members. The story is that years and years ago, she sold brassieres, basically women's bras. Their undergarments, right? She would observe women walking across the street as she was out doing her daily chores, shopping, business, whatever she was doing. She would notice a woman across the street just walking. And she would run across the street to tell this woman how she obviously needed a new bra. She naturally sold to all the women that she met with the intent of making their lives better, improving not only their appearance, but their physical posture and their sense of overall well-being. Most of us during that period of time would never have dreamed of trying to sell ladies' bras. She was very comfortable with this because she had confidence in who she was, She also knew her abilities and knew how she could help in a very real way. Now, as a music director, in my first career, I was a music teacher for 20 years. I really disliked the idea of advocacy. Advocating for your job, your profession, your band, your music program, and all of these things seemed a lot like sales to me. In my first band director job, I thought the people who hired me should already know and understand why they had a band program. I figured since they hired me, they should also know why that band program was important to the school. I thought I should not have to beg for budget money or justify why I should be paid for 23 basketball games at which our band performed throughout the winter. In my next band director job, I learned about recruiting and retention. And this means that you help children and their parents understand why they should join the band and why they should plan to stay in the band throughout their high school years. It also means that you help the parents understand that they needed to rent an instrument for the child and they needed to plan to purchase it over time. Sure, we had a lot of school-owned instruments to loan children who could not afford them, but advocacy was absolutely critical to help these children and their parents realize that in order to step into a lifetime of music and all the good things that come with that, they needed to actually own an instrument and not just rent or borrow one for a few months and hope it worked out. At some point in the job, I had an elementary school principal who actually asked me to write him something to support why we had a band program at his elementary school. I had to explain why I thought it was important and justified. It got to the point where I presented at the State Music Educators Conference on the subject of recruiting and retaining band students, and I was surprised when I walked in to give that presentation, and that room was packed with over 200 educators. They were all eager to find solutions, to advocate, to help them bring children into music programs and maintain their motivation to continue. Now, advocacy is a lot like selling. But it's different because you're not just trying to get your product into the hands of your buyer. It is way more than that. You believe that what you're promoting has intrinsic value and is of long-term worth. You've experienced it yourself and it's changed your life. Because of your own experience, you want to share it with everyone you know and everyone you meet. You want to take it to people you don't even know because it's that amazing. Basically, you're trying to share what you believe to be the lifelong benefits of learning or of having a particular experience for those who participate and for those who they impact and for those who they influence, because you absolutely know that it will change their lives for the better. Now, I want to get back to that first question I asked at the beginning of this podcast. What would you like to have happen? What areas of your life would you like to feel more confident about? And what would be different if that were to happen? Likewise, what if you do nothing? Taking action to advocate for yourself, it comes from this gap, this place of dissatisfaction. You need to be able to see what things could be like if you were actually confident about them, if you felt like your decisions were the right ones. If you felt like your choices were okay to make, even if you fail. Like, there isn't just a perfect right answer out there. It's okay to explore, to play with the answer, to try and fail, to try again, to just go with what works for you. We're gonna have to feel a sense of uneasiness that what we want is impossible unless we take some action. And we need to believe that what we get when we take the action is actually going to be better than what we have when we don't act at all. The question is, how do we advocate for ourselves? Advocating for ourselves, our qualities, our abilities, the work we do, and who we are, this is so important in every aspect. James Flaherty said that the central work of our lives is to find out and live from the deep mystery of who we are. Taking on the project of unfolding who we are and who we intend to be, or that we have been given to be, Life is a gift we should give. I have a particular kind of service that only I can bring. And so do you. And you need to bring it. But you can't do it if you're stuck, if you're doubting, if you're worried that you're not enough, your worth is in question, you have no idea what your gifts and talents and true strengths are, you're waiting for someone outside of you to tell you what they are. Well, I have news for you. You can know your strengths and weakness with clarity. You can know about your attributes, and you don't have to have someone approve of that. You can make your decisions and confidently move forward, even if other people disapprove or disagree. So let's talk about this idea of advocating for yourself. There's sort of this assumption that a lot of people I know have shared with me, and I used to have this idea too. And it was the idea that if you go to work every day and do what you're supposed to do and just do a really good job, at some point you're going to get recognized for it and maybe even paid more. Or maybe you'll get an opportunity to advance, you'll get more responsibilities. But either way, the belief is that if you work hard and do your best, it's simply gonna pay off. That just isn't true anymore. It might have been true 20 or 30 years ago, but it isn't true now. Advocating for yourself is taking all of this effort that you're putting forth, the great worth you have as a human being, and your value as a worker, and explicitly and directly sharing it. It's not bragging. It might feel that way at first. Sharing your abilities and achievements with others around you is the only way they will truly know about what you're putting in and what your unique contributions and strengths are. Other people really view what we do through some kind of filter or lens shaded by their own background, their own way of thinking, their own experience, their culture, and so many other aspects of who they are. No matter how great we are or how great our work is, there will always be people who see our efforts as weak, misguided, or simply common. Our own words about ourselves actually tell the story much better. So first, we must know ourselves. We need to learn about our strengths and weaknesses, and we need to see them clearly and be able to articulate them. And we must have our own internal self-worth that does not depend on others' opinions, or their validation, or their accolades or judgments. And it needs to be independent of our rank and our salary. Our sense of self-worth is self-evident. It doesn't depend on all those people and all of those things outside of us. When we come at things with a confidence about our own worth, things then become subject to our control. We can do the things we dream about. We can have a solid sense of self-knowledge and steer our efforts in the right direction. And we can use our strengths as we recognize our weaker areas and stop over-focusing on those weak parts of ourselves. Advocating our value to others is easier because we confidently know it and we are not waiting for others to tell us anymore. Now that I've covered this with you today, talking about your advocacy for yourself, your value, your worth, the question is, could you do this? Will you do this? When will you take the first and smallest step towards sharing who you are, what your value is, and what your contributions have been? And will you share it? There is always some kind of growth or personal insight that we experience when we play this kind of game, dig deep, and explore. I think it's kind of fun. So I ask you now, what stays with you about yourself? What is the most important thing that you learn when you really look at all that you are and the wonderful, amazing parts of you? Where in your life can you be a little more confident tomorrow with this insight? And how could this whole experience be even better for you? These are some things to think about as you focus on your self-worth, your confidence, and the fact that you already do have all of the answers. It's time to toot your own horn and be the best version of you.
This has been a podcast called Mindset for Life by Bethany at drbcoach.com.
To find me on the web, you can visit my blog or my website at www.drbcoach.com. That's drbcoach.com.